Praying, first of all, is the foundation of America. Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim as they encourage every believer to lift up their nation with continual prayer. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory, here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. You're just in time to hear about the First Great Awakening. Billy Brim is with us today, and she's going to be sharing on a historical fact that changed everything.
Everything changed.
Praise God.
And, of course, the awakenings that we're going to talk about, we talked about one on Lewis Island. We're going to talk about the awakenings in America.
Yes.
And before we come to that the First Great Awakening, out of which America was born, I want to talk to you about something we started on Monday, I think it was. And the National Day of Prayer that year was May 5th, 2011. And Thursday, and on Wednesday, out at Prayer Mountain, we had our regular Wednesday noon prayer, which I streamed live. And I said, now tomorrow's the National Day of Prayer. Everybody come back. We're going to stream live tomorrow. And so we had people from every state in the United States that were going to come and stream live prayer on the National Day of Prayer. I called your husband, Kenneth Copeland, the night before, and I asked him if you could speak to the prayers who will unite in prayer with us tomorrow from every state in the Union and from other nations, what prayer would you lead them in? So he said he wanted to pray about it. And so he had a short but succinct and powerful prayer the next day. And he called me, and this is his prayer. My prayer is for God to give us His wisdom, to give us His strength, that this nation finish its course.
Yes.
Not Lord. Cut short by sin, by government, or by any move of the devil, that we as Christian people cast off the sin that so easily besets us and finish the race and fulfill our destiny.
Praise God.
Does the United States have a destiny?
Amen.
It definitely does.
Praise
now,
God.
I was really thrilled when I heard Ken's prayer because I had prayed and gotten a prayer from God, and here's the prayer I got, and it had to do with our destiny. So here's the prayer that I got to
same
pray that day.
Spirit.
We ask, same spirit. We ask you to help us reach the destiny you intended when you established this nation, as evidenced in your hand upon the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the preachers of the Great Awakening,
yes,
our founding fathers, and in the multitude of waves, you have preserved us until this hour. And we humbly ask you for the only thing that will save us, an awakening to God.
Yes, amen.
And we shared how God had put upon our heart, too.
Praise God.
Now, the United States has a destiny. We established that. Those prayers alluded to it, but it's in the Word of God. And where is it in the Word of God? It's in Acts chapter 17. We're going to begin with verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city given wholly to idolatry. Verse 22, Acts 17, 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." I was reading this before I went to bed one night, and the Lord said to me, I want you to notice how I had the Apostle Paul declare me to the pagan world, who knew nothing of me. The first thing he was declared as, the Creator. He made it all. He's the boss. He was declared as, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. The Amplified Bible says, and he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth. having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, land, and abodes. And so this part of the world where you and I live, it's a new kid on the block. Columbus sailed the blue in 1492. We all learned that. So it was really the last half of the sixth day. God had given to Adam a six-day work week. It's been almost 6,000 years now since Adam. And the 1,000 years is a day in God's six-day work week. We didn't come on the scene till the last half of the sixth day. And when we came on the scene, God is the one who determined our boundaries, our habitations, when we would be here. This is true for us. It's true for Canada, true for Australia, some of the newest nations that came into being. Very interesting about the United States of America and how it first came to be and the people who sailed over here, the Puritans. And we might go a little bit into church history. Jesus and his disciples, you know, his apostles, they worshiped according to the simplicity of the New Testament. But then as things went on, it became more complicated. I say that the devil couldn't, he couldn't stop the church, so he joined the church. And he brought this argument and that argument. And then it happened that in 300 or so, Constantine from Rome decided that the Roman Empire would change. It would have Christianity as its religion. And he called a council, the Nicene Council. And at the Nicene Council, they made up the rules of how it's going to be. And Constantine, he had, in one of the councils, early councils, it was established that the way of salvation was baptism. Now, he didn't know if it was baptism in water. Baptism, he didn't know if it was baptism at birth or baptism at death. So he called in the bishops from all over the world then that were worshiping, and some of the bishops went along with him, but some of the bishops didn't. And so those who didn't were always those who were protesters. And the only Protestant, not everybody was a part of this first Roman church. There were those who all along didn't believe, and they protested. And they didn't want their babies baptized. And so they were persecuted because it was told to them, you know, that you're sending your babies to hell because you won't let them be baptized. Then some people began to say, well, Constantine, you know, he could be the Antichrist. So Constantine decided they will take out the book of Revelation from the Bible. But even the bishops that went along with Constantine, they're not going to go for that. So what do? They lock up the Bible. They lock up the light. And they do not allow any persons, normal people, to read the Bible. You only can read the Bible. A priest has to read it to you, and he has to tell you what it means. And so since the Bible's locked up and nobody can read it, then they began to have a lot of other things go on to keep the people happy or at least religious. But the book's locked up. Nobody can get to it. Most of the people couldn't read anyway if they could get to it, but they couldn't. And so the world entered what we call the Dark Ages. Now, the light began to come back. And the greatest thing that brought the light was the press, the printing press. And now you don't just have a few Bibles that they can lock up somewhere. Yeah. Now, and great pioneers, they said, we want this Bible to be as common. We want to put it in the hand of the plowman so that he can read it. It was against the law. They burned them at the stake. Tyndale, they burned at the stake. Hmm. But the Bible got into print. And the people started reading it. And in England, some people started reading it. And they saw, now their church is the Church of England, which was started by Henry VIII. But they saw that the church didn't exactly match what's in this Bible for how to worship God. And so they became called Puritans. They wanted to purify the Church of England. and they tried to purify it. And they had meetings which were declared unlawful, and they were sent sometimes to prison. But a lot of them wanted to just purify the Church of England. Some of them said, we've got to separate. And they were called separatists. And so they wanted to separate and have their own way of worship that was apart from the Church of England. Well, they were terribly persecuted, and they fled England, and they fled to Holland. They lived in Holland for some period of time. And in Holland, they really couldn't make a decent living. They were treated well there, except it was hard for them to make a living. They were looked down on in a way, didn't get the best jobs, whatever. But the main thing that caused them to decide they needed to leave Holland was their youth. And their youth were beginning to be affected by what was going on in Holland. And so they decided, a congregation of them decided, they'll sail to the New World. This was around 1620. And, oh, there are some ventures in it. Much of this is written in The Light and the Glory, a book by Peter Marshall and David Manuel that came out in 1977. When this book, The Light and the Glory, came out, I mean it swept across this world, this United States of America. And its subtitle is God's Plan for America. And in it, you see beautifully researched, you see it come out, those beginnings of the Puritans. And then it was not until the Puritans sailed. They had a 600-member separatist congregation in Holland. And so they got the boat, the Mayflower. And then there were some other adventures with another boat. But only a third of their people could come. But everything began with prayer. And this is the prayer they prayed as they started out. Bradford, who was their leader, He prayed a prayer that they would, God's blessings, and he called a day of prayer and fasting. And they fasted and prayed before they left. And then when they got there, the first thing they did was fall on their knees and thank God. And Bradford, this is the prayer that they prayed. Being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof, again to set their feet on the firm and stable earth and their proper element, and no marvel if they were thus joyful. They were praising the Lord. They had begun their long journey by kneeling on the deck at Delfshaven to ask God's blessings before they left Holland, and it ended on the sands of Cape Cod, kneeling to thank Him for that blessing. Wouldn't you call that first of all?
Yep.
Praying,
yep.
First of all. First of all for everything they did. And then they came into the land, and so many of their stories. Peter Marshall and David Manuel wrote, "The Puritans were the people who more than any other made possible America's foundation as a Christian nation." They underwent some hard times. And I so loved so many stories that I read in here about the hard times they endured. I'm telling you, Gloria, we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, we do.
For all the people. I went on that replica of the Mayflower, and to think of all those people in there and people taking their little children on that boat in the cramped quarters, and how did they live? How did they make it? God's hand was upon them.
Yeah.
And then when they got here, you know, they didn't know how to exist here. God sent them some Indians, Samoset and Squanto, who had been taken to England and learned the English language and walked into their land one day and showed them how to plant corn and showed them how to do everything.
Praise God.
Bless the Lord. But then they had the hard times. And there came the winter of 1621-22, and they called it the starving time.
Oh.
And England had sent over a ship of new the company they were under, new inhabitants, and they didn't send enough food for them. So now they've got all these other people, and they don't have enough food. And in that winter, they were ultimately reduced to a daily ration of 5 kernels of corn apiece.
Oh, you can't live on that, can you?
5 kernels of corn.
In the natural.
It is almost inconceivable that life could be supported on this.
Mm.
And as always, they had a choice, either to give in to bitterness and despair or go deeper into Christ. They chose Christ. They prayed.
Praise
and not
God.
One of them died during the winter of starvation.
Wow.
And then they came to this period of time when they had this drought. And I'm going to read from this book, The Light and the Glory. Sometime after the second planting, it became apparent that the dry spell that had begun between the two plantings was turned into a drought. Week followed week. It would continue for 12 weeks in all. And not even the oldest Indians could remember anything like it. Edward Winslow described the drought and what followed. There scarce fell any rain, so that the stalk of that planting, which was first set, began to send forth the ear before it became to half growth, and that which was later not like to yield any at all, both blade and stalk hanging the head and changing the color in such a manner as we judged it utterly dead. Our beans stood as though they had been scorched before the fire. Now were our hopes overthrown and discouraged, our joy turned to mourning, because God, who hitherto had been our only shield and supporter, now seemed to arm himself against us. Who can withstand this? Like these and the like considerations move not only every man privately to enter into an examination with his own estate. If something went wrong, they begin to examine themselves. To an examination of his own estate between God and his conscience, and so to humiliation before him, but also to humble ourselves together before the Lord by prayer and fasting. To that end, a day was appointed by the public authority, and we set ourselves apart from all other employment. In sincere and deep repentance, each and every pilgrim, this day of fasting, oh, I wish we could call one for America, an examination, and this is the recording of it, Winslow recorded. Oh, the mercy of God, who was as ready to hear as we were to ask. For though in the morning when we assembled together, the heavens were as clear and the drought as like to continue as ever it was. Our exercise continued for some 8 or 9 hours, they prayed. Mm-hmm. Before our departure, the weather became overcast. The clouds gathered on all sides. On the next morning, distilled such soft, sweet, and moderate showers of rain, continuing for 14 days. And mixed with such seasonable weather as it was hard to say whether our withered corn or drooping affections were most quickened or revived. Such was the bounty and goodness of our God. Bradford says, it came without wind or thunder or any violence, and by degrees in that abundance as that the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked therewith, which did so apparently revive and quicken the decayed corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made the Indians astonished to behold. All of them admired the goodness of our God toward us, praise, that wrote so great a change in so short a time, showing the difference between their congregation and, you know, when they would have the rain dances, which they would often get storms, and our invocation on the name of God for rain. Theirs being mixed with storms and tempests, as sometimes, instead of doing them good, laid the corn flat on the ground. But ours came in so gentle and seasonable a manner as they had never observed the like. The yield that year was so abundant that the pilgrims ended up with a surplus of corn, which they were able to use in trading that winter with northern Indians who had not had a good growing season. And so they planned a second day of thanksgiving. Someone writing says, a better country was never seen, and with the multitude of God's blessings. They recorded that the first course of the abundant meal they served at the second Thanksgiving was an empty plate in front of each person on which they placed 5 kernels of corn, lest any should forget. Mm. They knew. It was God. And when something went wrong, they questioned themselves. And they had a day of prayer and repentance. We could do well with such.
That's the truth. That's right.
Oh, that the spirit of prayer would fall upon us, that we could have such an outpouring of blessing and an outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us. They never forgot. They looked to God in their daily lives for provision. But they looked to him for government. Never had there been a group of people on the earth who rule themselves without a king. How do you do it? I mean, they had the King of England. Never before. The Dutch had a king. The English had a king. That's all they knew.
Yeah.
But here they are, and we know that the Mayflower Compact, we know how that was brought together. They realized that they had to have a set of governing. And how was it to operate? Where did they look? They looked to the Bible.
Wow.
Gloria, in here and in other places, they even found later on when we're going to get down, and we will next week, when we're going to get down to the first days of our government and our founding fathers, they found the three branches of government in the Holy Word. The three branches that we have now, they found there.
Awesome.
And every article, every one of our founding foundations has its foundation in the Word of God.
Praise God.
It was born out of a great awakening, the first great awakening. We'll get to that next week. And now we're believing God for another great awakening.
Yes, God bless America.
God bless America.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just start believing for that. All of us together, all over the country.
Yes.
We believe for another great awakening.
In yes.
In Jesus' name. Billy and I'll see you. We'll be right back in a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.